this morning. And so we pray, Lord, that in his preparation, you've been there now and you will inspire the words that he gives us and give us open hearts, Lord, to hear, receive, and then do your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I wasn't here last week, and nor were many of you, but as I said earlier, Ian opened a series of talks entitled, How Can I Be Sure I'm a Christian? Actually, there are probably very few Christians, including archbishops, who have not at times questioned whether they are actually true believers, whether their faith is real, whether they're good enough. So it's good to gain Christian assurance that we can have added confidence to carry us through challenging times and be better at living out and sharing our faith. Last week, Ian's first bit was on the work, Word of God the Father, and I've been asked to look at the work of God the Son. Now, Jesus is credited with living a good life, performing many miracles, amazing teaching, often given through parables, having great wisdom, and his claims to be the Son of God. Before Abraham was born, I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. But the most important work Jesus did was going to the cross and then rise from the dead. In the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. So how can we be sure that Christianity is true and that Jesus died on the cross and rose? Well, actually, there's a remarkable amount of evidence supporting that Jesus is an historical figure. The events set out in the gospel story and the way early believers lived as described in Acts. The early Jewish and Roman writings of Josephus, Tacitus, Pliny and others confirm that Jesus was condemned by Pilate to be crucified. His disciples were both Jews and Gentiles. The disciples reported that Jesus had appeared to them on the third day after his crucifixion, and they were named after Jesus, and they worshipped Christ as God. Most of us here can recall the events of the hurricane of 1987. Now that was less distance away in time than when most of the Gospels and the Epistles were written. And they were written in the same sort of time scale. And I don't know if you're aware that there are apparently over 13,000 ancient Greek manuscripts containing at least sections of the New Testament. And apparently 98% of the text is consistent. Quite a remarkable thing. We have stories passed down to us from the ancient world, and the amount of text relating to them and the stories we take as being true, there's not many of them, and there are often far later gaps between the events and the copies they've got. But what about Jesus' resurrection? Well, if you read the book of the Gospels and the Acts, and our second reading, we're given details on the witnesses, starting with Mary Magdalene, followed by Peter and John, the remaining disciples, a crowd of 500, Jesus' brother James, and finally by Paul. Far more than you'd ever require in a court of law. The extent of change in the disciples is seen as clear proof that they had met the resurrected Jesus. There are no longer men fearing for their lives. You remember Peter denied Jesus, knowing Jesus, three times in that first night. But a few weeks later, they were fearless, prepared to be arrested, beaten, thrown into prison, and to many to go to a martyr's death. But yet they held firm to the testimony expressed by Peter at Pentecost. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. So, but why was Jesus prepared to go to death on the cross? Well, Jesus knew he was fulfilling Scripture, and his some of his final words on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's from Psalm 22. In Isaiah 53, we can read, he was despised and rejected by men. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressions, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. In the first reading from 1 Peter 2, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Now Jesus knew his destiny, and in John 3 he said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. I don't know if you realize that life is just full of choices and decisions. This morning when you got up, you had to decide what to wear, what to eat, whether to go to church. Other times you're deciding what to study at school, what sort of college you may go to, what job you'll do, what friends you'll have, where you will live, where to go on holiday. Life is full of choices. Unfortunately, some of our choices are not always the best. There are many who ignore the message of Jesus' death on the cross, or inadequately or incorrectly interpret it. For some, they imagine Christianity just being a set of rules, regulations, and this killjoys on their life. But they are seriously wrong. Some simply choose to allow worries or distractions, perhaps of wealth or just concerns of other issues, to close their minds and just push Jesus to the side. Some try and live commendable lives, yet do not realize how far they are from God's standards. For some, the problem lies in accepting they're worthy of being forgiven, perhaps with roots of never feeling good enough in childhood, or difficulties in forgiving someone who has really hurt them. Now, if that is you, do come forward at some stage, perhaps this morning, for some prayer. Some believe it's only about the future prospect of reuniting with loved ones, and that's just simply just too far away. Now, there are many believers and even churches who have taken a wrong turning in their spiritual journey and moved out of God's blessing. If you go for a walk in the woods or on the hills, you can see how easy it is to take the wrong path and not realize it until later. But fortunately, we have a God of second chances. So if we have ignored Jesus or moved away at some point in our lives, the parables of the lost sheep and coin illustrate the welcome home. Now, the second most important thing Jesus did was to leave his Holy Spirit. And because of that, we can have a relationship with God and become his adopted sons and daughters. And for those who've got families, you will know that maintaining any good family relationship needs time together. Time spent listening, talking, sharing things, times of laughter, perhaps even of tears. But all times, it is feeling a loving security of being accepted. Now, a key point to remember is that we are on a spiritual journey, traveling at different speeds. Those far ahead or in the fast lane just may have made better choices or started earlier. Perhaps they've allowed God to be Lord of more of their life. Now, if you see somebody like that, look at them as a source of inspiration rather than condemnation. Just be encouraged. Now, in this journey, there are lots of changes that may take place, and some things that we can see as being to encourage us and to assure us that we are on that journey. For some, it's a real joy that chains put on us by others or ourselves are broken, and we have freedom to really be ourselves and to belong and able to worship God. It may be a time of real hunger and passion to spend time in prayer and studying God's word, by the desire to be with fellow Christians worshipping God, by our values being altered, by changes in our character and behaviour, which is often more evident to others than ourselves. The ability to forgive and accept forgiveness, being graceful, displaying humility, a real deep burning love for others, no longer burdened by a sense of duty, but carried by a flow of love, from being able to have the experience of discerning God's inner voice in our heart, experiencing and sensing God's love and support in difficult times, a deep pain and knowing we've made mistakes, wronged someone, or let God down, generosity in our giving of time, possessions and resources, a deep hunger to draw closer to God, a desire to tell others and share the good news, just being transformed to be more like Christ. The gospel is good news, and we should be better at sharing it. As we sung earlier, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let's have a prayer for a second. Lord, I pray that you'll reveal to us where our choices have not been good. Help us to see what changes are required so our lives are transformed, pointing people to Jesus. Amen. Second part of the sermon is actually you, if you want to, feel brave enough. I'd like to ask if people feel able to share what difference being a Christian has made from Jesus dying on the cross. Please feel able to come forward, or perhaps even share with people at the coffee time. Anybody want to be brave enough?
I can say it certainly made a difference for me. I have more patience, more understanding. I love to give my time freely, and I really enjoy that. And each day, to come nearer and nearer to Christ is incredible. And I just want to show God through me to others. And it's just been an amazing journey, I can say.
Thank you, Jeff. Anybody else feel brave enough this morning?
I'd just like to say, at school I see all these girls who feel the need to put on so much makeup, and it's quite a modern thing, you know, and they feel the need to cover themselves up because they don't feel like they can go out looking as themselves, but I just like to think that I don't need to do that because God knows what I look like and I'm perfect because I've been made in God's image.
Bless you. Thank you very much indeed. It's wonderful. Anybody else want to share anything this morning? Anyway, we have some notices now.